Welcome to Our PBC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPBCLife or through our website at pbclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
Well, we continue in the book of Nehemiah. A book that's exciting me beyond measure, but most of all showing me how much God is speaking to us in our current situation through the word that was written how many thousands of years ago. And so my message today is rebuilding with love. And today it's rebuild the house of the Lord. Rebuild the house of the Lord. And I want to encourage us as we're going through this book, keep on reading it. Go back and read some of those passages. We're going to rebuild the house of the Lord. And here's the word today. Don't be idle. There's no time for idleness now. Don't be idle. We're going to reestablish spiritual cities and spiritual homes. Amen? So here's the passage today. Nehemiah chapter 7, and I read verse 1 to 4. Nehemiah chapter 7, verse 1 to 4. After the wall was finished, and I had set up the doors in the gates, the gatekeepers, the singers, and the Levites were appointed. I gave the responsibility of governing Jerusalem to my brother Hanani, along with Hananiah, the commander of the fortress, for he was a faithful man who feared God more than most. I said to them, "Do not leave the gates open during the hottest part of the day, and even while the gatekeepers are on duty, have them shut and bar the doors. Appoint the residents of Jerusalem to act as guards, everyone on a regular watch. Some will serve at sentry posts and some in front of their homes." At that time, the city was large and spacious, but the population was small and none of the houses had been rebuilt. Father, every word that is written in the Word of God is meaningful. So, Father, let the meaning be pulled out in different hearts and lives according to where they're at. And, Father, just use this vessel for this moment. But, Father, speak into the hearts of every believer and everyone who has not yet confessed you as Lord and Savior. May they recognize today that they need to build their house by, first of all, establishing their lives in Christ in God. So we ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Nehemiah chapter 7, verse 1 to 4. I begin with this. When the first tasks are accomplished, do not become idle. When the first tasks that God calls you to are accomplished, do not become idle. The Bible says in this chapter, the wall was finished. Remember last week's message, 52 days. What the enemy said was impossible. What the enemy mocked and jeered and ridiculed and harassed. Still, they couldn't break them down because God was with them. No matter what is going on, if we continue to walk in faithfulness to God and God is with us, we shall overcome. It says the gates were put in place and the doors were set in their place. Let me just qualify this morning. The walls. Walls are how you set the boundaries, how you establish the boundaries. And that was the first thing that Nehemiah did. He began to rebuild the walls so that there was a protection to God's people. The gates is how the entrance of evil is blocked. Got to set gates. Remember we showed in Nehemiah earlier in the chapter, I showed you the different gates. That's what many nations will do. They'll have gates. So you have to stand at the gate and knock. You have to call out from the gate. The gates is where you protect yourself from evil. And that's a whole message. You can go back and listen to why the gates in our lives are so important. The doors are a way to remove evil so that the good things can remain inside, but the bad things are kept out. And so there's walls, gates, and doors. And the Bible says that when they had accomplished setting the wall, rebuilding the walls, then setting the gates in place, and then putting the doors there, Israel knew that now they had accomplished the impossible. There are walls in your lives that are going to have to be set up in this season. There are some gates that you're going to have to put to protect yourself from the world that is going to go crazy on steroids. And there are some doors, some personal things that you're going to have to put in your life to make sure you keep things out and allow only what God wants to remain in. Can I hear an amen this morning? So these are the structures that Nehemiah had put in place in Israel. And once that was accomplished, now he gets ready for some of the essential spiritual components. Those were the practical. Now he gets ready for the spiritual, which is what we're preparing ourselves in this season. He says, now, get the gatekeepers. The gatekeepers were those who protected the houses from evil predators. They were the ones that were always watching, always on guard, always making sure that they could spot what was not for Israel. Then he said, get the singers. Oh, glory to God. Get the singers. Keep the vibrancy of the house of God with worship. I want to encourage you this morning, just as Nicole and the worship team pulled out so powerfully, if the Lord builds the house, nothing we do shall be in vain. Do you know what is most important in this season? You got to get run in for worship. It is worship that the Lord used when Jehoshaphat faced a large army and they did not know what to do. The Spirit of the Lord said, release the singers and let them worship the Lord and watch the enemy crumble. Hey, this is not going to be a time to be reluctant, to be idle, to be hiding. You're going to run into worship and you got to be worshiping continuously. We've been blessed with things like Spotify, and make sure you're Spotifying the right worship. Don't give credit to all of these folks that are just making money. Give glory to God. Sing the songs that are going to lift your spirit. So in the midnight hour, when you wake up and anxiety is trying to creep in, a song of praise, I trust in God, comes out instead. What you feed yourself is what you're going to release. And when we come into the house of the Lord to worship, when we congregate to worship, don't come in with your mouth shut and don't come in with a heaviness. You should have been praising in your car because you were praising at home. So when you come, you're just joining the congregation to let the Spirit of the Lord be loosened upon everyone in the name of Jesus. He says, get the singers and put them in place. And then he said, get the Levites. The Levites were those who conducted spiritual duties to help others follow God by reading the word and standing in prayer. I'm going to tell you, I'm so thankful for this church because we have many on our prayer roster. When we call our Tuesday night prayer, we're going through the roster. We sometimes can't even fulfill. We've got so many names of people who've grown in prayer. Those are the Levites putting themselves in position to carry the vibrancy and the strength and the power of the house of the Lord, and we do it with a discipline, which is what the Levites had to do, and then we see how God makes it work together. Reading the word, we talked about it, so important to continue reading through the Bible all year, because you're going to keep on hitting on things you've never seen before, but your faith gets stronger and stronger and stronger as you read the word. Don't tell me how important your life is and how busy your life is. If you're too busy to read the word, then you're too busy for God. Somebody. So my question this morning is, can you be counted as one of the faithful? Can you be counted as one of the faithful? Regardless of where you think you fit, please be reminded today that you should still fit well somewhere and somehow in the kingdom of God. No matter how you feel about yourself, you fit somewhere. Are you being found faithful? Wherever you find your fit is your place of gifting. We all have some kind of gift. The psalmist said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than dwell, what? In the tents of the wicked. Wherever you find your fit, Remember, you should be found working diligently as unto the Lord. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4 to 6 says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Whether you have a different type of gift, or you've got a different type kind of service, or you've got a different kind of working. You know what he's saying? There's no excuses. You fit somewhere and you do it as unto the Lord, because God is establishing you in growing to a higher level. The more you put your hand on the plow, the better it is for your strength and your tenacity and your perseverance in faith. I've seen people picked off and they're like, oh, you know, I don't know anyone in church. I've never met anyone. How could you be in a church so long and never meet anyone? You've not put your hand on the plow. You've not found your place of gift or your place of service. And I know many times you'll say, oh, I did volunteer to do this. Man, maybe that was not your gift. Go find your kind of service and we're kind of working. A lot of times when we volunteer, we volunteer for the wrong place rather than asking, where do I fit? Somebody say amen right now. I've often said, if somebody comes up to me and says, Pastor, can I pray in the pulpit? I'm like, oh, no, you ain't ever getting up here. Because you know what? You prove yourself to get here. You don't ask for the position. When we prove ourselves, if you want to be an usher, prove yourself. Smile when you're walking out. You want to be a greeter? If you can't have pearly white, show. Come on, you paid for all of this. You're all going to dentists. You paid for it. Show it. Well, sometimes we just need to find where. I love the word. There's different kinds of working. Where can you work so that you grow, so you build community, so you get stronger, so iron sharpens iron? Oh, but Pastor, you know, I did that before, and there's so many hypocrites in the church. Yes, and you're one of them. Get over it. We all have responsibility to live godly lives and to become workers in the kingdom of God. So good workers, here's the folks. Good workers always persevere wherever God has planted them. And they work diligently, being thankful that God gave them a gift. And they're thankful first for the gift of salvation. And that gift of salvation releases them into functioning in the gifts that God has given them. Then there are those who are called to be church leaders. And they should persevere in fulfilling their promise to be faithful stewards. When you're called up to be a church leader, you've got to be a faithful steward in the good times and in the bad times, in the hard times and in the difficult times. We show up and we keep on going. You show up and you keep on going. 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. Even what you did in the past, some of our seniors, they worked so hard to build and to establish, and now that they don't have the energy, nothing you've ever done has ever been useless. God uses it all for the glory of His name. So those that are given a biblical title, such as deacons, teachers, singers, they must persevere with their duty and their responsibility, trusting God to grant them faith to strengthen them for the task ahead. Because whom God equips, whom God calls, God equips. I am so always honored by our worship team for the hours they have to get in here every Sunday. Rain or shine, cold or snowstorm, they still have to show up. And on Saturdays, we pray together at 8:30. And I always pray before I go to bed, God, strengthen them in the morning when they have to go out, shovel the snow, and get out early. Guess why? Because it's very hard in the early morning to be coming out all by yourself to come and prepare for worship. But they have learned it's a duty and it's a responsibility, but it's as unto the Lord. And then pastors and leaders, spiritual leaders, we have to hold steadfast in the ministry God has called us to, because God's call is irrevocable, but it comes with judgment. That's why I said, let God's call upon us pastors. It comes with a judgment. And in fact, it says it's a double judgment God's call comes with. But we have a responsibility to be faithful at all costs and to hold steadfast. And those that are falling apart, I don't understand if they understand the call. Because when you're in the call, you got to be in it as unto death. Why you get quiet? This is what it is. So I don't want to be up here too much. It's double judgment and it's as unto death. But here's the thing, folks. Every professing believer should persevere for Christ by turning away from the wicked and worldly behaviors and instead live righteously, serve as a testimony of God's goodness. Wherever you are, the rest of everybody, wherever you are, I'm not a singer and I'm not an usher. Serve as a testimony of God's goodness. Whomever sees you in this season of turmoil, when they see you, they got to see God's goodness. They must be jealous that you are still walking in faith and strength with a smile on your face. And I want to speak to every frowning Christian. Get your Christian life in order. If you're a frowning Christian, I'm not sure if you're a Christian. Somebody tell somebody. If you're a frowning Christian, I'm not sure you're a Christian. Because it doesn't mean you don't have pain and sickness and all of these things. But I want to tell you, when you know who your God is in the midst of pain, you're going to remember there's a pain taker. This is going to be a beautiful journey for the church, because we're going to step up and show up and let the world see that we serve a God who is still in control. So as God increases responsibility, prove yourself to be a person of godly integrity, holiness, and faithfulness. Are you fulfilling your responsibilities as unto the Lord? Nehemiah 7:3, here's what Nehemiah said to them. Verse 3. I said to them, do not leave the gates open during the hottest part of the day. And even while the gatekeepers are on duty, have them shut and bar the doors. Bar the doors. Appoint the residents of Jerusalem to act as guards, everyone on a regular watch. Some will serve at sentry posts, others in front of their homes. Let me just quickly tell you what this interesting note means. He was saying to them, don't open the gates during the hottest part of the day. Why was he adding that? Why was he saying that? The gates are to be open. He's like, no. You see, God cares about the little things in our lives, the little realities that can cripple us. He knows the little things that can trip us. And so Nehemiah said, look, you all been working hard. In the hottest part of the day at Israel, it is so hot you're lethargic. Those of you who've been, anybody been on the tour to Israel? When it gets hot in the middle of the day, it is hot. Those of you from islands and different places, you know when the sun hits at noon, it starts to just burn the top of your head. And you know what Nehemiah was saying to them? Your energy is going to be zapped. Your spirit is going to be a bit raunchy. So you know what? Just shut the door. Lock it. In fact, don't even close it. He says, bar it. What's he saying? Let anyone who has to come in, come at another time, because right now I'm not spiritually strong and I'm not fervent. He's saying you got to get your life in order so that you know when to shut the gate, when others are going to trip you up, when you got to know when the hottest part of your life is about to trip you, because we're going to go through some hot spells, but Nehemiah told us what to do, shut the door. Somebody this morning, shut it. And after you've shut the door, the enemy will not find a foothold until you say, okay, I'm good. I'm good. That's why we're going to take this season with all the peace and strength of God. Nehemiah 7, after doing the difficult task, Nehemiah said, now engage in the work. He says, you've done all that. Now here's what I want you to do. This is where it gets sweet. He says, I want everyone, every resident to be guarding so the enemy cannot infiltrate. After you've done the walls and the gates and the doors and you've got things in order, he says, I want you to get ready to guard your city and guard your home. And he gave the highest responsibility to Hanani. And Hanani was the person who traveled to Persia to share the deep concern of the brokenness of Jerusalem. So he was saying, Hanani remained as a person with a burden. We're going to have to remain as people with a burden for our nation. Whether you're listening online in some other nation, have a burden for your nation and don't let it go. Don't be idle. It's time for us to realize God is just giving opportunity to step up. And then he gave the second highest position to Hananiah, who had protected the city night and day. This is a man, he said, that has demonstrated his faithfulness and that had only a fear of God. I love this, folks. Fear God more than you fear humans. That is the mandate of the church. Fear God more than you fear human. Remain a person with a burden, but fear God more than you fear humans. Who's the world going to fear? Humans. Who's the church going to fear? Talk to me. Who's the world going to fear? Who's the church going to fear? Because as believers, we fear God. The fear of the Lord is the what? Beginning of wisdom. Those that weren't with us during the summer, we preached through the wisdom passage. You can find it online. It's going to help you in your journey. Bible tells us that though, 2 Corinthians 10, for though we live in a world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Let's remember that's what we're doing. We're going to deal with the powers and principalities at work. We're not going to just look at the humans. The world is looking at the humans. We're going to look at the powers and principalities and remind them who overrules them. Anybody with me this morning? Online, are you with me this morning? See, these men knew Nehemiah was trying to teach the rest of Israel that although they felt beaten down, although they felt discouraged, although they saw the threatenings of the enemy and it was becoming more rampant, although they felt their prosperity would be stripped, they needed to remember God who restored the broken gates and the burnt walls is the same God that will restore the broken and burnt things in our lives if we keep our eyes upon him. Why had Israel come to that place? It's the same reason Canada is in the position it's in. Israel became beaten down because of their past sinfulness. They ignored God's law. They violated God's commandments. They catered and placated themselves to the enemy and to false gods so they could be prosperous. And now they were beaten down. But Matthew 10:22 says, all nations will hate you because you're my followers, but everyone who endures to the end will be saved. I want you to know this morning, Canada was always a nation that said it was built on the word of God. But over the decades, everything's been stripped. Can't have the Bible in school. Can't have anybody pray in certain places, except if you're from some other religion, except the religion that worships Almighty God and Jesus Christ, our Savior. You can't do this and you can't do that. Everybody has rights. LGBTQ plus 52. They can have everything. But the church should be shut up. And we fell into it and we stopped on it and we got afraid of it. It's time for us to know our sinfulness brought us here, but our repentance will bring us out. This is a nation that has to come back to God. And those that are crying, why, God, what are we going to do? Tell them we're going to repent and we're going to return. We cannot afford to be idle in these spiritually impoverished days. Folks, we cannot afford to be idle. We cannot afford to be idle in these spiritually impoverished days. If we remain idle, generations will be wiped out by the enemy. We're already seeing it, the anxiety, the nervousness, the dependency, the crime, everything is escalating. You know what idle means? Idle means lazy, slothful, even frivolous, a foolish, pointless, sluggish, apathetic. These are all the definitions of idle. Idleness and laziness carries the same connotation. Idleness leads to sin, and laziness leads to disaster. Do you know what? We became idle, sluggish. Oh, well, you're too passionate. I've had more people tell me, I can't worship under you because you're too passionate. Well, you go sit there and die all by yourself, because I love the Lord, and I'm going to preach with a passion in my heart, because that's what will wake us up and make us know who we are. I'm not going to be sluggish. Do you know who I serve? I serve a mighty God. Lazy people, Proverbs 19 says, sleep soundly, but idleness keeps them hungry. Ecclesiastes 4:5, fools fold their idle hands and it leads them to ruin. Ecclesiastes 10:18, laziness leads to a sagging roof. Idleness leads to a leaky roof. When you start to see it sag and you leave it, it's going to leak. And so these are all the wisdom that God gives us. Don't be idle. We're going to reestablish spiritual cities and homes. Here's what Nehemiah says in Nehemiah 7, verse 3. Nehemiah 7, verse 3b says, Appoint the residents of Jerusalem to act as guards. Everyone on a regular watch. Some will serve at sentry posts, and some in front of their own homes. The sentry post was where there'd be guards at the gate, there'd be guards by the wall. They were put together in groups. I won't define all that. You could look it up what it means, but it means that there'd be some who were put in position. There were some that were called up to do things, leaders and appointed, as I preached earlier. But he said, but everyone must stand guard. Stand guard, because everyone must watch. Everyone was assigned to watch. Do you know? The problem we're going to have in Canada, online, forgive me if you're in another nation, but your nation's probably the same. We're not very different, most of our nations. You know what the problem we're going to have? We've never had anything that called us to unity. And I want this church, and I want online, to start praying that we will start keeping watch over our nation. There are some who are going to pull left wing and right wing and all these foolish wings. You're going to pray that God either removes them out of position or brings them tightly into unity. There are some already who've probably made deals that will suppress Canada but help them. You're going to pray, God, you give breath. If they won't come in unity, take breath away. Some of you are wondering, Pastor, that's wicked. No, that's protective. I'm a serious person in the kingdom of God. And I believe this is a call to Canada to be unified in purpose. I'm not saying, not everybody's going to become Christian. There's going to be Hindu, Muslim, Jew, Gentile. We're going to all be as God has allowed us to be all these years. But one thing we must do, we must have a national pride where we protect the nation God has given us. Outside of the indigenous folks, our indigenous people, which is only one tribe, the Cree, that are coming here in March, outside of them, we were not the originals. You may be here 50 years, 60 years, 100 years. Your great-grandfather was, but you were not the original. And we came to this land because it's glorious and free. Those of you in different countries, you were born there. God gave you the privilege to be there. You stand guard for your nation. You stand guard for your nation. Nehemiah said, listen, we have an opportunity to rebuild now. We tore it down in sinfulness. Now we must rebuild it in faith. And that's what we're going to do as a people. And many of you will go, oh, Pastor, is this a Sunday morning message? What would you like me to preach? Come on, somebody. I could preach you happy. Friends, don't worry about a thing. God's going to bless you because your RRSPs will be okay. Don't you be worried like others. Don't even think about what they're saying. Because wherever you've got your stocks, if you put it in this, it's going to rise. Some trust in chariots and some trust in horses, but we will trust only in the name of the Lord. Nehemiah says, you are required to be on guard for your nation. And he called, he says, everyone, you're going to protect your city and you're going to protect your homes. And I don't know what it means for each one of us. Nehemiah didn't spell it out for them, but he was saying, serve well. Whatever you do, God has blessed you in this nation, serve it well. Serve well. Whatever you do, God has put you in this community, serve well. Serve well. Watch over your church that the Spirit of the Lord is pleased to descend upon this place and the fire of God will come upon us and reignite our heart, soul, and bring our families and our friends into salvation that they will know the peace of God. Serve well as you watch over your homes. Serve well as you watch over your homes. Folks, listen to me. We're going to have to serve well over our homes. This foolish idleness, this frivolity, all of that now, let's put that aside and have a spiritual culture that's going to cause God to bless our homes and bless our families so that we don't vacillate and go, well, this is me and this is who I am and I'm not like that. Get your act together. This is a time we got to rise up in the name of the Lord. And I want you to remember this. It all starts if you serve well by watching over your own spiritual life. It's your own spiritual life that's going to be, you know what, I'm kind of a cool Christian. Well, get hot. Folks, can I remind you, we may seem like we are small, but we're mighty. And faith grows as we step into the will of God. I just got to share these two quickly as I come down. Here's the thing. Gideon, Judges 7. The Lord told Gideon, with these 300 men, I'll rescue you and give you a victory. Send all the others home. He was saying, Gideon, you don't need an army. You need faithful people who are not afraid of the enemy. Are you hearing me? God will use faithful. You don't want to join in online? You're like, I'm not for that. That's all right. God used 300 to take out an army. Why? Because they were faithful. Because they were faithful and they were not fear-filled. They were faith-filled. David, 1 Samuel 17, faith will grow as you step into the will of God. 1 Samuel 17, verse 45, David replied, you come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's army, the God of heaven's army, who I trust you have defied. Today the Lord will conquer you and I will cut off your head. You know what David was saying? You don't need what others have on them to be successful. You just need to know God. Come on. Oh, but if we had this, we would be okay. If we had that, we would be okay. No, if you have the Lord on your side. David says, I'm not putting on even Saul's armor. I'm just going to put on the armor of the Lord that I know. And I'm going to serve the Lord with gladness. And I'm going to come into his presence with singing. And I'm going to know that the Lord is good. Can I tell you something? God uses many things when they were in despair to bring society around. With Noah, he built a boat. With Moses, he used just a rod to open a Red Sea. With David, it was a slingshot to take down a giant. With a little boy with five loaves, it fed 5,000 plus families. You got to get in position and don't be idle at a time like this, because we are going to have to anchor down in the Lord Jesus Christ and know who we are in Christ and God. This is not a time for fear. It's a time for faith. And I don't care how young a Christian you are, or how old a Christian you are, or how lazy a Christian you are. Snap out of it now, because we are going to declare this is the hour of the Lord. This is the hour of the Lord. Holy Spirit. So everyone, get in position. Don't be idle at a time like this. Don't be idle at a time like this. It's time to pray. Would you stand with me? Would you pray from your own heart right now as I pray? Would you pray whatever God, open your mouth and pray as I pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm repenting for our nation of Canada. I'm repenting for the islands of the sea. I'm repenting for South America. I'm repenting for Mexico. I'm repenting for North America. I'm repenting, oh God, because Father, we need your mercies over our nation. We need your blessings to be restored upon us. God, we need justice, oh God, to rule life with righteousness over our nation. God, we need unity among our people. Right here in Canada, unify us, that we will stand as a people who will be thankful that you've kept us prosperous and free, and that freedom will remain intact. Lord God Almighty, wake up the churches. God, some got idle, some got slothful, some, oh God, got foolish. Oh God, some got frivolous. But wake up the churches, that we would stand strong and begin to declare the word of the Lord. Open the mouth of pastors to preach the word of God with righteousness and with power. Give faith to the fearful Christians, because a fearful Christian does not serve a mighty God. God, let faith arise, that the enemies of our soul be scattered. Oh God, draw Canadians back to you. Draw North America back to you. Draw the islands of the sea back to you. Draw the nations in Africa, Asia, India, around the world, Europe, back to you. God, there's wars, oh God, on some sides. There's famine on another. There's fire on one side. There's drought on another side. There's political turmoil. But you are the God of heaven. Draw the people back to a mighty God. Oh God of heaven, we ask for mercy. God, be merciful and help us. We sinned and we failed you. We catered to an ungodly society, but we're repenting. We repent personally today. Oh God, forgive us. Oh God, deliver us. Oh God, heal us. Oh God, restore us. Oh God, revive us. Oh God, renew us. Oh God, make us your people. Oh, come on, open your mouth online and ask God to forgive you. We gave in to everything around us, but oh God, loosen your presence and your spirit upon us again. And God, our Savior, Jehovah, would you show us unprecedented miracles? Unprecedented miracles in our life, that we, oh God, will declare to a fearful nation and a fearful people that God is still in control. We stand guard over our lives, over our families, over our homes, over our church, over our community, over our province, and over our nation in the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen. Sing this with me now.
If you enjoyed today's episode and feel called to support and give to PPC, you can head over to our website at ppclife.ca, where you can give, get involved, and find out more information about our church. We can't wait to hear from you. God bless.